I want to welcome everybody that's watching online today. We have people watching us from other countries and across the United States of America, here in San Marcos, Hays County. Thank you for watching us today. We're really glad to have you. Plus, we have our Lockhart campus joining us via video today. So I'm preaching at Lockhart Junior High. At the same time, I'm speaking here in San Marcos. So please, let's give all them a hand right now. Welcome them into our service. We're glad you're part of us. Yes. Today, I'm starting a brand new message series called Unqualified, and there's a book by Stephen Furtick, also by same title, called Unqualified. You can pick it up at stores everywhere online. Great book about the same message. A lot of the content we're getting from this message series comes from two books, the Bible and this book, and he has a really great reason why he named it this. Stephen Furtick is younger than I am. He's about 36 or something, 37. Very big church over on the East Coast. And he was this theologian that's very well known, was asked to give a one-word answer. It was like a quick-fire round of questioning. And the guy asking the question asked this theologian, give me one word for Stephen Furtick. And the theologian said, unqualified. And Stephen said, he laughed, actually. God gave him a lot of grace in that moment, and he laughed. And then he wrote a book called Unqualified and signed a copy and sent it to the theologian. Anyway. So, we ask the question, do I have what it takes? You know, do I have what it takes to be a pastor? Do I have what it takes to graduate from high school? Do I have what it takes to go to Iowa State? Do I have what it takes to have a successful marriage? Do I have what it takes to run this business? Do I have what it takes to leave a legacy for my kids? Do I have what it takes to live for God, to be who God says that I am? Do I have what it takes? And one of the most influential men in the Bible was Paul. And he wrote about this to the church in Corinth. He said, look at the obvious facts. Those people, talking about the people at the other church, those people who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we, over Promised Land, we belong to Christ as much as they do. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, you're not any better than I am. Go ahead and tell them. The first service really got into that part right there. I had to like shut them down. Okay, that's enough. Paul's saying, we belong. We belong to Jesus. When we belong to Jesus, it doesn't matter what everybody else says about who we are, what kind of life we can live. So this is Paul speaking at the apex of his ministry, successful in every way that you would deem possible, yet he finds himself defending himself in this letter. He goes on to say, I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. This next verse is really the crux of today's whole message. I'm not trying to frighten you by my letters. For some say, Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person, he's weak, and his speeches are worthless. Can you imagine? I said that about Paul. Yeah, your letters are great, but man, in person, weak. Your sermons are worthless. Wow, that's amazing. Your sermons are worthless. Your letters are good, but so those people should realize that our actions when we arrive in person will be as forceful as what we say in our letters far away. So we're thinking to back it up. That's what he's saying. This next thing that he says, you could apply it to 2018 so easily. Don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that you're as wonderful as those other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement. How ignorant. How ignorant. What he's saying is, if you keep comparing yourself to other people, you're going to see weaknesses that you have, and you're going to think, man, who am I? I don't compare, especially looking at social media, when you're looking at someone's highlight reel of the day, right? We're all guilty of that. We're not posting pictures of us, not flattering. We always find the pictures that's the best. We put those online, and that's what people are seeing of our life. And then we compare our life to someone else, and we say, oh, I'm no good. I'm unqualified, because when I look at me, I'm a broken person. I've got things in my life that aren't right. They're not good. And Paul is saying he had something that way too. He couldn't talk well. His sermons were weak. He wasn't very good at it. He had a glitch in his ministry. Today I just want to talk to you about the glitch in your life. We read Paul, we look at Paul, we see that his glitch is actually something that opened up his life to something much more powerful. The glitch was not something that was an excuse. It was actually the thing that God used to write the Bible with. What if Paul would have been a better speaker and he hadn't written letters? Then we wouldn't have the epistles that are in the Bible. So I'm kind of thankful he had a glitch. A glitch, in case you don't know what it is, sudden, usually temporary malfunction or irregularity. My boys are now 12 and 14, and the most important thing in their life right now is playing video game. Just threw you under the bus, son. Sorry about that. Playing a video game is the most important thing. Hey, if we let them, they would play all day, all night. We're going to pull all-nighter playing video games. The most popular video game right now in that age group is a game where they're actually competing with 100 other people across the world, whoever's playing. It's all online, on a computer, on an iPad. And so they start playing this game with a bunch of other people. And they're upstairs in the game room, and Erica and I are downstairs reading the Bible, fasting, praying. You know, that's what we do while they're upstairs. And y'all laughed hard on that one. Okay. Every once in a while in the middle of it, we're like, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? And it's always followed up with, my computer is glitching. Well, if your computer is glitching and you're not playing a game, it's aggravating. It's not that big of a deal. If you're playing a video game, and a regular video game, and it's glitching, it's not that big of a deal because it just kind of pauses and then you get right back into it. But when you're playing a video game with other people across the world and it's all live and your player is glitching, that means they're advancing and you're about to die when your computer is glitching, because your character has a sudden malfunction. Maybe temporary, but it's a sudden malfunction or irregularity. What Paul is saying in his letter to the church here today is that he had a glitch. He had something that caused him to have a malfunction. His speaking ability, and not just his speaking ability, I talked about this on Mother's Day as well. When Paul showed up to Ephesus or Corinth or one of these towns, they always were like, wait, you're the one that's writing these letters? Ooh, we thought you'd be taller. We thought you'd be stronger. We thought you were more whatever. But you look weak. And you write these. So he had this physical glitch. And then when he started talking, they started thinking, this is not the one that's writing these letters. I mean, he doesn't sound anything like he does in the letter. He had this glitch. And so that's what Paul's saying. He said, I'm known for writing good letters, but in person, he's weak, and his speeches are worthless. There's a movie that came out, I don't know, 5-6 years ago called Wreck-It Ralph. Anybody watch Wreck-It Ralph? Love Wreck-It Ralph. It's an animated movie, but it's one of my favorites. And there's a character in Wreck-It Ralph named Vanellope, and she is a person that lives in a video game. So the whole movie is about characters that live in video games. And at night, they all exit their video games at the arcade, and they all hang out in some, you know, common area. And then in the morning, when the video games are turned on in the arcade, they all go back to their games, and they play in their games. Well, Vanellope has a glitch. It's known that she has a glitch. And so the villain of the movie tells her she cannot participate in the race because every time she participates, she glitches. And if the game continues to glitch, it will be unplugged. And then they all lose their jobs. They die. I don't know. Something like that. But anyway, so they say, Vanellope, you can't participate because you have an issue. You have a glitch. You're unqualified to participate in the game. But I love the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us today to tell everybody in here, you may have a glitch, but that doesn't have to keep you out of the game. Because of Jesus Christ, we put our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ. He qualifies us. He takes broken people and does big things with broken people, not because they finally figured it out or fixed their glitch, but because Jesus makes a way. Jesus picks up the slack. So it's time for us to get back in the game, whether you feel like you're unqualified or not. In fact, when you look at the Bible, look at the characters of the Bible, some of y'all have read this online. It's a very telling, very truthful analysis of characters, very well-known characters in the Bible that all had glitches. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Some of y'all having a problem with my jeans today? Just be thankful I didn't go Isaiah on you today. Come on. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Jacob went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman had multiple husbands. Zacchaeus was too small. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. Some of you feel like you've got something in your life that is keeping you from doing what you know God called you to do. Or maybe it's not quite that lofty. Maybe it's dial that back a little bit, but you feel like you just can't make it in your marriage, or you can't make it through to the end of your degree. Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to be faithful to my spouse? Do I have what it takes to forgive that person that's done wrong to me? Do I have what it takes? And so I hope the message that we all get today, we get it from Paul and we get it from all these other people, is that it doesn't matter if you have an excuse, if you have something that's a malfunction, whether it's a repeating thing, a short thing, a long-term thing, God uses broken people. God uses people with glitches, with things that aren't like other people. And so if you're just constantly comparing yourself to other people, you'll find yourself always discouraged and putting yourself in the unqualified category. I mean, if you look at Paul, the writer of tons of the New Testament, he was very gifted. He was a great debater, a great philosopher. He was high up in the government as far as he was very well known. He participated in the persecution of Christians, and he studied under the guru Gamaliel. He traveled a lot. He traveled to northern Africa, Europe, and Asia, established churches once he was converted, established churches all over that region. He's at the apex of his ministry, and he's defending his credentials in this letter. And he's telling people that are haters. So even Paul had, as we would say, haters in his day and time. They would say, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And some of us find ourselves in that place thinking, if I can just graduate, then I'll be okay. There's a threshold that we think, once I get through this abrupt threshold, I'll be all right. And I remember as a kid thinking, if I could just get my driver's license, then I'll be free. And I was there the day I turned 16 to get my driver's license, thinking that this is going to be the day that everything turns around in Robin's life. Get my driver's license, I'm free, I'm able to do things. And then I got my license, and it didn't quite deliver what I thought. And then I graduate from high school, and I go get a degree, and I graduate. If I save a certain amount of money in the bank, then. So I was thinking, in order to get married, I want to graduate from college. I want to have $10,000 in the bank, and had all these other things. If I can just get all these thresholds, all these things. And I just would pass one after another, and it was finally dawned on me after years and years that the devil never gives up. The devil is going to continually be at you all the time, even after you cross that threshold, whatever it is. I could just get married. If I could just find someone, my soulmate, if they could just say yes, then we could just marry. Then just a kid, two kids, three kids. Then you realize it's not, kids aren't doing it either. So let's stop having kids. Stop. Oh, man. How true is that, though? We're unqualified. We're struggling in it. We're having trouble. So I need a volunteer. Somebody on this front row right here. Ivy, you look like a great, great one. Yeah, you come up. So I have this wad of money right here. I'm going to give it to you if you can tell me how much is in it. As you can see, it's $1 bills. So if you can just take it, you know, look at it, tell me how many things, how many dollars. Yeah, good.
Without touching it? Okay. Thanks.
Don't open it up, but. $5. Okay, thank you. That's wrong. You can sit out. Take off these paper clips. Here, will you hold this for me? So, one, two. 102, 202, $302. The outside, no, you can't have it. She's like running up here. No, Natalie. The outside was ones. The surface was ones. Would make you tend to believe that it's all ones, but what's actually happened is down below the surface is a lot more value. And this is what's happening in people's lives. We've been talking about this same message this whole year, that there's something going on the surface of our life. And we get so caught up in the surface of our life, we think that's what life is all about. But when you find Jesus Christ and you surrender your heart to him, he begins to remake you on the inside, way down deep below the surface, and your value starts coming from way below the surface. It hasn't made its way to the top yet, but God is doing something in your life. It's working its way out. And someday, this is what you're going to look like on the outside. And people are looking at your outside now. They don't see that. They just see this side. And they're judging you, and you're comparing other people by what you look like on the outside. And what God's trying to tell you today is that deep down below, I'm going to do a work in your heart. I'm going to do something inside of you that's going to redefine who you are. Your value is different because you belong to Jesus. So when we look below our surface, And there's some pain. There's some pain below the surface. There's some difficulty below the surface that God needs to work through. He's going to help you with that. But once we start looking in our own private time in our life, we start looking down below the surface of what's on the outside of us, and we go, wow, I'm not as angry as I used to be anymore. I'm not as fearful as I was anymore. There's still some glitchy things going on. Every once in a while, that glitch will happen. But when I look at my wholeness of my life, my big aerial view of who I am in my life, I'm not the way I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And God is doing something on the inside of me. Amen. And so what happens is we start looking below the surface. We see what God's doing is it brings us true confidence to know that God is qualifying us. If your status, if you had a robot and you had a status readout, the status would be blinking, qualifying, sanctifying. God's at work in your heart right now. He's justified you. He's forgiven you of your sin. You belong to Him, but He's doing a work inside of you. Other people can't see it. You sometimes choose not to. You get distracted and you see other things. But you got to remember, I'm so glad you came to church today to be reminded. God's doing a work in your heart. Sometimes it takes a while for this to come forth, but that confidence comes from belonging to Jesus. And so sometimes in life, we hear that we're unqualified. We see that we have glitches in our life, and we want to have confidence, but it's thin. And we don't really have the confidence that we need. And we try to think that if we will educate ourselves or get more experience or if we get people to like us, then we'll have the necessary requirements for confidence in order to walk in what God has called us to do. But the truth of God's word is that your confidence, your strength to live out what God's calling you to live out doesn't come from your ability to be better at something or to fix the glitch. Remember what Paul said, those who belong to Christ must recognize that we belong. Even though we have glitches, we still belong to Jesus. This is a statement that I want everybody to grab a hold of today. Everybody watching, write this down, memorize this. This is a fundamental truth that we've been talking about all year. True confidence is a byproduct of belonging. The confidence that you want to be successful in that marriage, to be successful in that business, to know that you're going to be all that God has called you to be. The confidence to live in that doesn't come from your ability to get smarter, get richer, get more experience. It comes from belonging. It's a byproduct of belonging. So there's times in my day throughout the week, this happens like maybe a couple times a week where I have to really focus and I can't be distracted. And so I will get a post-it note and go ahead and put the picture up on the screen. I put this post-it note on my door and it just simply says no. And so staff knows that when this is on my door, they don't come in. Usually it's an open door policy. We're all here. Let's work together. But there are certain times when I need privacy just to think clearly, or maybe I'm counseling someone and, you know, I can't be distracted. I don't want people to hear what they're talking about, or I'm just trying to prepare for the sermon or whatever it is. So I put this on the door and close the door and I get in the zone, or I'm talking to someone. Well, inevitably, once a week or once every couple of weeks, that door will just burst open. Right in the middle of the no season of the day, the door will burst open and it is my 12-year-old son barging in. And at first, when I don't see who it is, who is that? And then I see Avery walk in, smiling, like, hey, what's going on in here? Going over to the mini fridge, open it up, get whatever he wants out. And I'm just, sometimes I just watch him. If somebody's in there, I'll say, Avery, I'm talking to somebody. Oh, okay. He barges in because he knows he belongs to me, right? His confidence to come into the room doesn't come because he's figured something out or he's totally oblivious to anything. He just knows that I'm his dad, he's my son, and he belongs with me. And so I love that part about him. Now I learned to lock the door whenever he's around, okay? But if we could understand that you and I belong to Jesus, that qualifies you. That gives you confidence. Hebrews 4:16. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's exactly what's happening when Avery comes into my door. Confidently, he comes into the office when he's thirsty and needs a drink. He could just go to the water fountain. He could go in the kitchen. No, I'm going into the throne room. I'm going into the pastor's office, the private stash. That's where I'm going. I'm going to go in. Let us, with confidence, look what the scripture says. It doesn't say go in with confidence when you've been living holy for a while or when you've got everything figured out or you've got everything that you need. In fact, it says the opposite. When you have a need, go in with confidence because you belong to Jesus. The scriptures above that, 13, 14, 15, are all talking about the power of Jesus and who he is to us. He's not some high and lofty high priest that doesn't relate to us or doesn't know what our life is like. Instead, we have a Savior in Jesus who walked in our shoes. He knows what it's all about, and we belong to him. He conquered sin and death and the grave, and we don't have to worry about our future anymore. We don't have to worry about if we're qualified or not because we belong to Jesus. Amen. We belong. We can, because of that, with confidence, we can face Monday. With confidence, we can open up that email. With confidence, we can have that conversation. And if it doesn't go exactly the way we want it to go, we can have peace because we know we belong to Jesus. And man, that did not go the way I wanted it to go. That's not the way I had it planned. But I wasn't relying on that to go a certain way in order to have peace because I belong to God. And God's got this figured out. It may be a different path than what I had figured out. It may be a different way than I figured out. But God has got my back, and I belong to him. Since the beginning of our church, we've had this motto, Promised Land, where you belong. And that's true. You belong here. But it's not because we're just friendly people or we've trained people to go up and be nice to weird people or to mean people or to people that don't look like us. That's not why you belong here. You don't belong here because we're nice people. Well, there's a few grouches around here, but that's just family. You belong here because Jesus died for you. He paid the price for your sin. and he's giving you a new name. He is, you belong here. Whether you know me or know anybody else here, this is your first time to ever come into this building or log on the internet. You belong in the family because of Jesus and what he's done for us. Would you pray with me right now? Let's talk to him. Let's go to Jesus right now. Let's talk to him. The sermon's over. And now it's our chance to respond to God and just say yes to him today. Yes. Yes to you, God. I want to belong to you, God. I want to be in your family. If there's people in here that have never prayed that prayer, let's pray that prayer right now. Just say, Jesus, I want to be in your family. I want to belong to you. Please forgive me of my sin. Please erase the broken, heal the broken, cleanse the dirty. I mean, let's just be honest with God right now. Everybody in here, let's just ask him right now, in your own words, to be in charge. Lord, be in charge of my life today. Take over. Is there any part of me that's not with you, surrendered to you, open to you? I give you my life, Jesus. I give you my heart today, Jesus. Come in. Have your way. There's people in here today, you've already surrendered your heart to God, but you've been thinking that your glitch, that your issue is going to disqualify you. Let's pray to God right now. Let's talk to God about that right now. Some of the things in your life, the sin in your life that's an entanglement to you, God's going to erase that, forgive that. You're going to be freed from that. There's others of you that have issues that's tying you up that's not necessarily sinful. It's just a difficulty in your life. And God's going to give you the grace and the strength to qualify you through that hang up. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, every man, woman, boy, and girl in the house watching online right now that is struggling with a glitch, something that came to mind as I was speaking today, Lord, I pray that you will be in the middle of that situation, that you'll bring an answer to every question mark. God, that you'll bring a solution to every trouble. Lord, people that are troubled and struggling and hurt and confused, people that are succeeding, but they just don't think they can get over the next hump. God, prove yourself, I pray, to everybody in here so that we would give you all the glory for this, you all the honor for this, and we would praise your name, and it would bring other people into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Come on, everybody say, amen. 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 Come on, clap your hands right now. Give God thanks.